Dry Slopes by Nick Ball. Dry Wit.
Advice for any budding young stars out there?
Get yourself a good shrink.
Look at me!
I'm terrible at getting up first thing in the morning. I'm just like one of those dinosaurs off Jurassic Park.
Come on, chop chop!
What is it about mothers that makes them about 50 times more irritating first thing in the morning?
Time to go!
Well, go then.
Oh, and open a window for heaven's sake.
Oh, shut up!
Sorry, what was it?
Do you have to do that in my bedroom?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, put your things away when you've finished with them and look at your cupboard. It's like a pigsty in there. And when was the last time you washed your blanket? Listen. It's hardened to a crust.
Don't. You'll break it.
Now make sure you've tied it up before I get back from Geneva. Oh, and you couldn't be a poppet and record World of Finance for me, could you?
Mum, I do have a busy schedule.
Well, what time have you got to sign on?
11. And then I've got to get my novel off to the publishers.
Yes, well, it won't take you a moment to post it.
I haven't written it yet.
Mwah! See you later. Now, you can use the blank tape, but not the one with dangerous liaisons.
I lay in bed and plan the day ahead, but no way was I going to fall asleep again.
What time is it?
What?!
I got dressed, had a shower, brushed my teeth, and had breakfast, all at the same time, which resulted in a number of classic comedy moments, which you wouldn't appreciate on the radio, but take it from me, they were very funny. Like, there was one point where I... No, it's lost on the listener. I grabbed my briefcase, weaved my way through the rush hour traffic, bought a Financial Times, weaved my way through more rush hour traffic, jumped on the bus, and went into town to sign on.
Adult return, please.
There you go.
It's funny, isn't it? The little thoughts that go through your mind when you're sitting on a bus. Hey, she's a bit of all right. You can almost see up her dress. If I very subtly angle my head, I might just...
Could you get off the floor, please? People are trying to get off.
Sorry. Hey, you look quite sexy in that window. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not such a bad-looking old... Oh, no, that's someone else's reflection. Where am I? Oh, damn! It's funny how your voice reverberates when you're thinking, isn't it? Hello? Oh, for the wings of a dove. It's a lovely cathedral sound.
Hello! Could you be quiet, please?
What, you can hear all this?
Too well.
Even the girl with the dress?
Yes, you pervert.
My God! You can make some of your best observations sitting on a bus. So I penciled down what had happened verbatim into my happy jotter and chuckled privately to myself. Then I had an idea. Don't do that. Why don't I write a novel all about my hilarious experiences? And it was bound to become a bestseller and turn me into an international celebrity. But I had a mammoth task ahead of me if I wanted to get my novel out before Neighbours. Thank God for my speed typing skills. A lot of writers see the typewriter as a kind of confessional, which is why I always kneel at mine behind a curtain, hence all the spelling misquakes. But once you get really stuck into it, the book practically writes itself.
What's going on?
I'll do this. You get the coffees.
A lot of people come up to me and say, where do all the ideas come from? And I say to them, Mum, it's not me.
It's my subconscious. Like, when you hear a piece of music or smell a smell, it opens up corridors in the mind. Imagine going round the corridors of my mind.
Okay, everyone, this way, follow me.
Arrest that man!
What's that?
That's his dim and distant past. And in here...
Oh, Angus, you're amazing.
His past?
No, his imagination. And this... Nightmares. Watch out for the monster. Phew, close one. Oh, one of the bats has gone out again. Eric, see to that, will you?
Righto.
But this is incredible. How many different cells are there?
In total, you mean, or that are actually in use?
In total.
Oh, billions.
And how many are in use?
14.
Don't tell me, sense of sound, right?
No. Sense of humour. Rather sad, really.
Finished! Phew! Now, what shall I write for my second sentence? Once my bestseller was complete, I sealed it in a large package and addressed it to the biggest publishing house I could think of. Prontoprint. Soon I'd be a famous author. And the moment I posted it, a total stranger came up to me in the street and handed me a card.
Oh, excuse me. Would you mind...
No problem at all. What's your name?
Tim.
Tim! Best wishes. Love. Angus! There you go, Tim.
No, would you mind moving away from the postbox? I want to post it.
Now all I could do was twiddle my thumbs and wait for a response. Often, when I'm waiting for some important news, I play little games with myself. See that car in front? If it turns left, they'll accept me. If it turns right, they won't. Come on.
I think it's parked.
Oh. But sometimes you can take a game too far.
Don't jump! Don't do it!
Don't do it!
Oh, don't jump! So yes. Fine, lads.
Oh, no.
If he jumps, I get it. If he doesn't, I don't.
Goodbye, cruel world!
Yes! Excellent! And yet, terribly tragic. Here we are.
Oh, you're a star.
Oh, well, not yet, but
fingers crossed. For making the tea.
Oh, and I'll just leave a copy of my book here, just in case you want to glance over it at some point. You don't have to, it's just if you have a mood swing. About how likely do you think it'll be that your mood will swing? I'm not pushing you. This is just research.
Just leave it there.
Okay, right, yeah, fine. I'll just leave it there. No problem at all. No pressure, you know, just in your own time. And about roughly what time do you think that you... Oh, no, I wasn't pushing you. Oh, no. And I was trying so hard to be laid back. And now look, the worst possible nightmare scenario has come true. Oh, but thank you. Thank you. This really means a lot. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up. Yes, I'll shut up.
Shut up!
Thank you. Sorry.
Angus, I can't read it with you breathing down my neck.
Oh, right. I'll stand over here then, shall I? Out of your way. These balls need oiling.
Oh, do something else.
Oh, right.
Angus, do you want me to read this or not? Just go.
Sorry.
Yes?
Oh, leave me alone.
What were you laughing at?
Angus, just let me read it.
Oh, please, just tell me which bit you laughed at, then I'll go, I promise.
Well, if you must know, it wasn't a laugh, it was a cough.
Which bit made you cough? What was that? Was that an amused snigger, or were you just dislodging a bogey?
Go!
Mum was beginning to irritate me, so I stormed outside and slammed the front door. But I had nowhere to go, so I let myself in round the back. I felt so neglected, I resorted to cuddling the pillow. But even that gave me up for the duvet. I know they laughed at me behind my back. Oh, come on, guys. I'm trying to get some shut-eye. But I could bear the tension no more. With a sweaty fulcrum, I fumbled through the drawers for my pistol. if it doesn't get published. That's it. Slowly, I put the pistol to my mouth, then answered the phone. Hello?
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 Is that Angus?
There.
Oh, hello. This is Karen from Pronto Print.
Oh, hello.
I'm ringing with regard to your novel.
There.
Bad news, I'm afraid. No, just kidding. Well done. We'd like to publish it, Angus. Angus?
I woke up in a cold sweat. Thank God it was just a dream. But this was reality. Hello?
Oh, hello, Angus. It's Karen.
Oh, hello.
Congratulations.
Oh, joyous day! I ran across the street in my nightgown, kissed a stranger, then bought a goose, before the whole town burst into a spontaneous musical. Oh. No, it was another dream. Of course, news never comes in the form you imagine, and in this case, it was through the post. There's a foolproof method of knowing whether you've been accepted or not, even before you've opened the envelope. If it's a big package, then that's a bad sign, because that means they're returning all your stuff and rejecting you. But if it's a letter, that means they want to hold on to your stuff and develop it further. Yes, it's a letter. Please collect large package from post office. I went to the pub to drown my sorrows. Watch it, folks! Is it closing time?
No, you've just come in.
Usual, please, Bob.
What's your usual? And my name's Alan.
I have a pint of Shires, please.
You can only get that on the Archers.
Do you sell Vimto?
No!
I have a shandy then, please. And one for yourself.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
Oh, no, I'm not paying.
Oh.
I don't know, Frank.
Alan.
Jim. Is it me, or do I get this feeling that whenever I enter a room, everybody leaves?
No, that's just perfectly ordinary paranoia. Everybody feels like that from time to time.
Oh, thank God.
No, hang on, let me finish. But in your case, I think it's an accurate observation. Well done.
But why? Is it because they resent me, or is it because they're overawed?
It's because they resent you.
But why do they resent me? Is it because I'm an underachiever, or is it because my talents are unappreciated?
Well, maybe you're unappreciated.
Thank you.
But maybe the reason you're unappreciated is because all you've produced to date is garbage.
You Palestine. They laughed at Rolf Harris when he invented the stylophone. Then I heard a familiar sound. Well, blow me down. It was the lads from sixth form. If anyone could appreciate what I was trying to achieve, they couldn't. Basically, our sixth form was divided into two. The squareheads and the nargs. The squareheads were a bunch of Neanderthals who used to wear rugby shirts and go... or... and used to spend their weekends getting trashed at football matches.
It ain't right. Or puked. I fell down some stairs and had to have 18 stitches.
You lucky bastard.
It's funny, that just isn't my idea of a perfect day out. Then there were the nargs, unpopular people, who found a common bond of unpopularity and formed the biggest clique in the whole school.
I got 76% in my physics test.
Well, I got 77%.
Oh, you fob.
Me? I was more a square narg.
And then I slipped off and sick and had to wear 16 stitches.
I was determined to show the lads that despite my celebrity status, I hadn't forgotten my roots. So I gave them a moment of my time. What can I get you, lads?
Not much on income support.
So, how's your missus?
Oh, fine, thanks. How's your mum?
Women, eh? So, what's it like to be a father?
Fantastic. What's it like to be a failure?
Well, better to be a failure at being successful than to be successful at... business. What? Damn. Forget that. I'm always doing that. You've got a searing insult on the tip of your tongue, and it just comes out wrong. This is what it feels like inside your head.
What's it like to be a failure?
Red alert! Red alert! We've been hit! Get into attack formation. think of witty retort. And fire!
Well, better to be a failure at being successful.
Good start, don't lose it.
Than to be successful.
We're losing it!
Business.
We've lost it!
Damn!
I like to think I share the same sledgehammer wit as Oscar Wilde and Winston Churchill. A woman once came up to me and said, "You're drunk, Angus. Horribly drunk." To which I replied, "Ah, shut your face, you stupid cow." I was quite pleased with that one. You can't always expect to be as laser sharp as that. It usually takes me about 3 days to think of my best spontaneous replies, and often they catch you off your guard. You think you're enjoying a pint with a pal, when suddenly...
What's it like to be a failure?
At first you chuckle encouragingly, mistaking the insult for a light-hearted quip. Then it begins to dawn on you that you've just been insulted, and something dies inside. You try and respond, but your mouth has seized up. You're suffering from verbal constipation, and you regress 2 million years. Now you consider your response. You work out the points you want to make and set them out in a coherent order. This may take some rewriting. Now you're ready for the counterattack. Unfortunately, by this time, 3 days have passed and your friend has gone apres skiing in the Tyrol. Or otherwise he steals your thunder by apologising.
Oh, Angus, mate, you know, about the other day.
Oh, yes. Better to be a...
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
What?
Yeah, I was way out of line, so I'm, you know, really sorry.
You can't do that. I've been up all night composing my reply. 6 rewrites plus rehearsals in the bathroom. Now you feel short-changed that your speech is null and void, so you try and recoup your losses by slipping in Chapter 7.
Well, it was a bit wrong of you for the following 38 reasons. 1.
Look, I said I was sorry. What do you want, a bloody royal pardon?
And now you're back to square one. It'd be much better if you could just kill people you didn't like. Never mind all the clever, clever comments. If someone winds you up, just gun them down.
So, what's it like to be a failure?
Well, better to be... Oh, sod this. By the time I left the pub, I was feeling really depressed. They say that manic depression and comic genius are two sides of the same coin. All the greats have suffered for their art. Tony Hancock, Spike Milligan... Timmy Mallet. And they're supposed to be impossible to live with. Particularly Tony Hancock. Lonely and dejected, I could face the world no more. I connected the hose pipe to the exhaust, then turned on the tap. Then I sat in the car and waited for it to fill up with water.
Excuse me. Sorry, excuse me.
We're all blubbered out.
Yes?
I'm just going to knock a couple of nails in the fence, all right?
Oh, is that all? Yeah, fine.
Your mum says I can pop around the back.
Well, pop off then.
What's going on here?
This needn't concern you.
No.
No, you can't talk me out of it.
No, you're supposed to stick the other end through the window, not at the tap.
Oh.
Yeah, let me give you a hand. All right, give it some engine.
But unfortunately, by this time, I'd flooded the carburettor, so I had to abandon the idea. But it seemed my attempts were not in vain. Sitting in the frozen water, I'd contracted a fatal illness. Bless you! So I ran myself a piping hot bath to make it better. First, I put on my favourite CD, then eased myself gently into the water. There's no better way to relax than lying in a piping hot bath listening to a death mass.
Angus!
It was my foot rubbing against the surface. I'm a real classical music puff. I go to all the local concerts. My favourite bit is the tuning up movement.
Excuse me.
Shh. I'm trying to listen.
Excuse me. Oh, just
Really? Couldn't you have got here before it started? Hooray! More! Well, that was excellent. Wasn't as long as I expected, but it's better to leave the audience wanting more. Fancy a Swifty? Excuse me? Squeeze past?
Could you get quiet, please?
You've got a nerve, telling me to be quiet in the interval while you're babbling away during the performance. I'd love to see the News at 10 jingle live, with Yehudi Menuhin conducting, and Nigel Kennedy strangled by a piece of piano wire. I used to play the canon in the church orchestra. Timing was of the utmost importance, as indeed was your aim. I was put on triangle after that. What a climb down. And as I soaked in the sublime music, as well as the dirty bath, it struck me that all this time I was being groomed for greater things. I smiled out loud. How could I expect lesser mortals like the publishers to appreciate true genius? Then, I had a miraculous idea. As a last dramatic gesture before I die, I would write myself a requiem mass. But first, I would clean the bath out. A lot of people reserve the word genius for artists and musicians. But what about all those unsung heroes, like weathermen? Take John Ketley, for example. On TV, he's just a friendly face. But in real life, I bet he's hell to live with. I expect he's up all night, composing his latest weather reports.
Leave me alone!
Then there's his arch-rival, Ian McCaskill. McCaskill to Ketley must be like Mozart to Salieri. I expect he can only marvel at his genius.
On the page it looked simple, almost comical. It started with a gentle breeze. Not too fast, like a whisper in the ear. Then it began to lift. Oh, no, faster and faster until suddenly, thunder! Which was taken over by the rains until finally a sunset. This was not the work of a four-eyed nerd. This was a weather report I had never heard.
And I expect he haunts his every waking hour and sleeping one.
No, no, go away, no, go away.
Johnny, wake up.
Oh. McCaskill! Kill McCaskill!
Oh, Johnny! Ow. Oh, you've been having another one of your Ian dreams again, haven't you? No, it's all right now. It was all your dream.
Shush. Imagine being John Ketley, waking up in the morning and remembering who you are.
Oh, what time is it? Oh, 7:30. What day is it? Thursday. Who am I? Oh, no, I'm John Ketley.
And it's no use growing the beard, John. That just makes you John Ketley with a beard. In squalid conditions, I work through the night on my requiem mass. God knows what I'd caught. TB, Black Death, or just a common cold. The music was driving me insane. I could only pray that I could finish before the illness caught up with me.
Supper!
Coming! If you're going to live in poverty, you may as well do it in the comfort of your own home.
What's the matter with your eye?
Please, it's nothing.
Let me see. What have you done to your eyebrow?
Well, I wanted to cut an ear off like Van Gogh, but it really hurt, so I shaved an eyebrow off instead.
please. You mustn't let my madness frighten you.
You clot. Have a potato.
At last, the masterpiece was complete. A lot of composers write unfinished symphonies, which either means they died during composition, or otherwise they just lost interest in the project. So I thought I'd go one stage further than them and write an unstarted symphony. And here it is performed for the very first time. Did you like it? I thought it started well, but I wasn't sure about the third movement. Now I was ready to take my final bow. Dying is a pretty good career move, because then people martyr you. Look at John Lennon, for instance. It didn't do him any harm. Well, obviously it did, but career-wise, he must have been quite chuffed. When I die, I want a modest funeral. No fuss, just a packed cathedral. Row upon row of choir. The streets are lined with mourners. Maybe the occasional mass suicide.
What time is it? Noon. What day is it? Thursday.
Who am I? Oh, no. I'm Angus Dry.
Chop, chop!
Oh.
Rise and shine!
Be honest, Angus. What were you, really? Unemployed, friendless, and living at home with a mother who didn't care. Or did she?
This is for recording World of Finance for me. Mwah!
Oh.
And this is for recording it over Dangerous Liaisons.
Ah! No, she didn't care.
Oh, you've got some mail.
Hi, I'm Gary.
Who are you?
Oh, just some mail.
Large package or small envelope?
Large package.
Not you!
Small envelope.
Oh, give it here, quick! This could mean the publishers realised they'd underestimated my genius and have accepted me after all. Yes! Yes! Whoa! What?
They accepted you?
No! It's my gyro!
Well, well done. Oh,
congratulations, darling! Mwah!
Yes, congratulations.
Get off! Who are you, for Pete's sake? Get out of my bed!
Now, darling, will you be all right? I've got to shoot off to Miami.
Oh, will you be all right? I've got to shoot off I've got to shoot off too. I leapt out of bed, grabbed my briefcase, weaved my way through the rush hour traffic, got dressed, weaved my way through more rush hour traffic, leapt back into bed, and went back to the world of Nod. And what a wonderful world it was too.
Good night, Angus.
Good night, Pillow.
Dry Slope starred Nick Ball as Angus and Louisa Ricks as Mum, with Julie Gibbs, Toby Longworth and Robert Harley. Dry Slopes was written by Nick Ball, and the producer was Gareth Edwards.